Hi, Dave Emery here. This is side two, for the record, program number 781. All's well that's Orwell, the Ministry of Truth, and the Ukrainian crisis, subtitled Yushchenko Uber Alles. This is being recorded on March 14th of the year 2014. We're going to plunge right back in where we left off on side one. We have been reading by a wonderful piece of scholarship by Per, P-E-R, Anders, A-N-D-E-R-S, Rudling, R-U-D-L-I-N-G, of Lund, L-U-N-D University in Sweden. He wrote a chapter called The Return of the Ukrainian Far Right, The Case of Vio Svoboda. This is a chapter in the book Analyzing Fascist Discourse, European Fascism and Text, edited by Ruth Wodak, W-O-D-A-K, and John E. Richardson, that by Rutledge, R-U-T-L-E-D-G-E, published in 2013. We have been looking at how, under Viktor Yushchenko and his wife, the former Ekaterina Tymoshenko of the OUNB, and the Reagan administration, the history and ideology of the Ukraine was systematically remade under the Institute of National Memory, and how that in turn not only led to the cult of heroism around the OUNB and its derivative organizations such as the 14th Waffen-SS Division and the Einsatzgruppe Nachtigall. It paved the way for the legitimization and cosmetic camouflage of the Svoboda Party, which controls the defense and legal machinery in the government of the Ukraine today, and is one of the reasons, one of the primary incendiary elements in the crisis in the Ukraine. Returning to the text of this chapter in the book, Svoboda subscribes to the OUN tradition of national segregation and demands the reintroduction of the Soviet, quote, nationality, unquote, category into Ukrainian passports, quote, "We are not America, a mishmash of all sorts of people," the Svoboda website states. The Ukrainian needs to stay Ukrainian, the Pole, Polish, the Gagoz, Gagoz, and the Uzbek, Uzbek. Svoboda's ultranationalism is supplemented with a more traditional white racism. Skipping down. Conspiracy theory is integral to Svoboda's Weltanschauung, or worldview, particularly conspiracies with anti-Semitic undertones. In August of 2011, in an attempt to do it, in August of 2011, in an attempt to distance itself from the, in August of 2011, in an apparent attempt to distance themselves from the Norwegian terrorist Anders Behring Breivik, Svoboda claimed that he was a Jewish Mason. In September of 2011, Svoboda activists mobilized from several parts of the Ukraine to organize rallies against Hasidic pilgrims to Uman. Following violent clashes, the police detained more than 50 Svoboda activists armed with gas canisters, smoke bombs, and catapults. The Shukesi branch of Svoboda criticized the police for their alleged failure, quote, to stop and avert aggression by Hasidic Jews against Ukrainians, unquote. Svoboda's anti-Russian and anti-Jewish rhetoric is accompanied by an anti-Polish message as well. Svoboda maintains that Poland has played a negative historical role in Ukrainian lands. The party demands an official apology from Poland for 500 years of Polonization from the 15th to the 20th centuries and indemnities for, quote, the Polish terror and occupation of Ukrainian lands in the 20th century, unquote. Focusing on divisive and sensitive issues, Svoboda provocatively denies any involvement of the Waffen-SS Galician in atrocities against the Polish minority in Galicia. For instance, on the site of Huta Pieniaka, Svoboda has placed a huge billboard denying the conclusion of both Polish and Ukrainian historical commissions that the 4th Police Regiment, which was later joined to the Waffen-SS Galician, burned this Polish village and slaughtered most of its residents on February 28, 1944. So again, note that the historical revisionism also applies to 14th Waffen-SS and OUNB extermination of Polish as well as Jewish populations. Continuing. Svoboda, this concerns the presence of Svoboda in an alliance of European national movements, a pan-European fascist consortium, sort of a Euro-fascist consortium. One of those is the National Demokraterna of Sweden. That is part of the Swedish fascist milieu to which Carl Lundstrom belongs. He is the Swedish fascist financier who financed the PRQ server on which Pirate Bay and WikiLeaks held forth. Returning to Per Anders Rudling's account, Svoboda is a member of the so-called Alliance of European National Movements, a network which includes the British National Party, National Demokraterna of Sweden, the Front National in France, the Fiamma Tricolore in Italy, the Belgian National Front, and the Hungarian Jobbik. This seemingly unlikely cooperation is partly facilitated by a joint fascination with ethnic purity inspired by Alain de Benoist, the ideologue of the French Nouvelle Droite. De Benoist fears the disappearance of pluralism and the reduction of all cultures into a world civilization and argues that each ethnos should be allowed to develop independently on its given territory without the admixture of other cultures. National Demokraterna, their Swedish sister party, advocates a form of ethnic segregation, which they refer to as ethno-pluralism, unquote. Svoboda has opened an office in Toronto, which has been visited by several of its leading figures. In Canada, in May of 2010, Svoboda leader Oleg Tjahnybok received the Golden Cross, quote, for his service to the Ukraine, unquote, from the Brotherhood of the Veterans of the 1st Ukrainian Division of the Ukrainian National Army, as the veterans of the Waffen-SS Galician Division call themselves. Following the conviction and sentencing of the death camp guard Jean Demjanjuk to 5 years of jail for his role as an accessory to the murder of 27,900 people at the Sobibor death camp, Oleg Tjahnybok traveled to Germany and met up with Demjanjuk's lawyer Ulrich Busch, B-U-S-C-H, presenting the death camp guard as a hero, a victim of persecution who is, quote, fighting for the truth, unquote. Again, that's the leader of the Svoboda Party, a critical element in the current Ukrainian government. Svoboda leader Oleg Tjahnybok's heroization of the Waffen-SS Galician and other Nazi collaborators is accompanied by ideological claims that the OUN-UPA conducted an anti-Nazi resistance struggle against Hitler. By the way, one sees those very same historical lies, and it is a fabrication repeated in the Western press. Yuri Mikhalshishin, Tjahnybok's top advisor on ideological matters, Svoboda's top name in the election to the Lvov City Council and its candidate for mayor in 2010, represents a more radical current in the movement. Again, this is one of the most important names. This is the top Svoboda ideologist. Beginning again, Yuri Mikhalshishin, Oleg Tjahnybok's top advisor on ideological matters, Svoboda's top name in the election to the Lvov City Council and its candidate for mayor in 2010, represents a more radical current in the movement. Proudly confessing himself part of the fascist tradition, Michelson relishes the harshness, extremism, and uncompromising radicalism of his idols of the 1930s and 1940s. Constantly reiterating the quote, "We consider tolerance a crime," unquote, and the quote, "We value the truth of the spirit and blood over all success and wealth," Michelson takes pride in the label extremist, which he proudly shares with Stefan Bandera, who created an underground terrorist revolutionary army, the shadow of which still stirs up horrible fear in the hearts of the enemies of our nation. Michelson serves as a link between Vio Svoboda and the so-called autonomous nationalists. Mirroring the autonomous anarchists of the extreme left, which they resemble in terms of dress code, lifestyle, aesthetics, symbolism, and organization, the autonomous nationalists attract particularly militant and extremely violent, event-oriented young fascists. Michelson has combined the attributes of various stands of the extra-parliamentary extreme right. Doc Martens boots, buzz cuts, and bomber jackets are in the tradition of the skinheads, while the nightly torchlight parades under black banners with SS symbols resemble the political rituals and Aufmärsche in Nazi Germany. The glorification of street violence is a key component of this Svoboda political subculture. In an extra session with the Lvov Regional Rada in front of the Bandera Memorial in Lvov, Michelson boasted that, quote, "Our Banderite army will cross the Dnipro and throw that blue A-blank-blank gang, which today usurps the power, out of the Ukraine. That will make those Asiatic dogs shut their ugly mouths," unquote. While hardly a typical man of the Belle Lettre, Michelson is actually a student of fascism. His interest is not exclusively academic. Under the pseudonym Nachtigall 88, Michelson promotes fascist ideology with the purpose of promoting a fascist transformation of society in web forums linked to the Svoboda Party and, quote, autonomous nationalists, unquote. In 2005, he organized a political think tank originally called the Joseph Goebbels Political Research Center, unquote, but later he renamed it after the German conservative revolutionary Ernst Jünger. Explicitly endorsing Hamas, Michelson regards the Holocaust as, quote, "a bright episode in European civilization," unquote, which, again quoting, "strongly warms the hearts of the Palestinian population. They hope it will all be repeated," unquote. We recognize the heavy emphasis on heroes and heroism from the narrative of the emigre OUN and from Yushchenko's legitimizing historians. The difference is that, unlike these two influences, Michelson does not deny Bandera and Stetsko's fascism. On the contrary, their fascist ideology constitutes the basis for his admiration of them. While he is no longer a serious political player, Viktor Yushchenko left behind a legacy of myths which helped to legitimize Svoboda's ideology. Svoboda's appropriation of many rituals in honor of, quote, national heroes, unquote, from more moderate nationalists is but one expression of its increased political strength in the post-Yushchenko Western Ukraine. On April 28th of 2011, roughly a year after the May 2010 14th Waffen-SS Veterans Honoring of Oleg Tyanovich, beginning again, on April 28th, 2011, Svoboda celebrated the 68th anniversary of the establishment of the Waffen-SS coalition. Octogenarian Waffen-SS veterans were treated as heroes in a mass rally organized by Svoboda and the autonomous nationalists, unquote. Nearly 700 participants, the organizers claimed 2,000, marched down the streets of Lvov from the massive socialist realist-style Bandera monument to Prospekt Svobody. The main street shouting slogans like "One race, one nation, one fatherland." The procession was led by Yuri Mikoshishin, again the top ideologist of the Svoboda Party. Again, note the overt and very ripe fascist nature of the OUN. Note how the complete remaking of the history and ideology of the Ukraine under Viktor Yushchenko directly paved the way for the rise of Svoboda, which is not only doctrinaire fascist, doctrinaire anti-Semitic, doctrinaire anti-damner everything, including Polish, Uzbek, and everybody else, not to mention anti-Russian. Note also their open affinity for veterans of the Waffen-SS and the Waffen-SS veterans' affinity for them. And note in particular the participation of Svoboda in a pan-European sort of Euro-fascist alliance and the deep affinity that Svoboda has for street fighting. They have active combat formations. One should note that because as things heat up in the Ukraine, day after tomorrow, the Crimea is set to vote on whether or not they want to become part of Russia and secede from the Crimea, from the Ukraine. Note again, as we looked at in, for the record, 779 and again in 780, the defense structures of the Ukraine are dominated by Svoboda. And as we are going to see in this story, the Svoboda Party, the Ukrainian government, I should say, is creating a 60,000-strong National Guard unit composed of street, quote, activists, unquote, in response to the potential secession of the Crimea. This is a BBC story from March 13th of 2014 titled "Ukraine Creates National Guard Ahead of Crimea Vote." It reads in part, "Ukraine's parliament has voted to create a 60,000-strong National Guard to bolster the country's defenses. The vote came ahead of Sunday's referendum in Crimea, now controlled by pro-Moscow forces, on whether citizens want to join Russia." Skipping down. "The new National Guard is expected to be recruited from activists involved in the recent pro-Western protests, as well as from military academies." Those activists, unquote, are almost certainly the people from Pravi Sektor and the street fighters, the autonomous nationalists, as they are called, that are allied with Svoboda, the guys with the Doc Martens, the bomber jackets, the buzz cuts and skinheads, etc. Skipping down in this BBC story from 3/4/13/2014, "The new National Guard is expected to be recruited from activists involved in the recent pro-Western protests, as well as from military academies. Ukraine's National Security Chief Andriy Parubiy, P-A-R-U-B-I-Y, said the Guard would be deployed, quote, to ensure state security, defend the borders, and eliminate terrorist groups," unquote. I would note that Andriy Parubiy is a member of Svoboda. As the situation there heats up, and again, remember that the Ukraine has a quarter of all of the proven natural gas reserves on Earth. That's an awful lot of what is going on here, as well as the fact that the Ukraine was to be folded into the EU and NATO was to be basically walked right up to the Russian border. Note that in addition to the OUNB heirs of Svoboda, the other OUNB group, the Pravi sector, even farther out, if one could say that, than Svoboda, also is marshaling forces for a potential confrontation with Russia in the Crimea and the eastern Ukraine. I would also note although we're not going to talk about that in this program, that in the Crimea there is also a Salafist group, a jihadist group called Hizb ut-Tahrir, whom we have spoken about and that is discussed at considerable length in various articles and programs that are available on the SpitfireList.com website. Note in this particular post that, again, Pravi sector is beginning to ramp up its activities, and note also that Muslim Brotherhood-affiliated jihadist Islamic fascists also may very well enter into the fray. This is from the very important GermanForeignPolicy.com newsletter that feeds along the lower front page of the SpitfireList.com website. This is from GermanForeignPolicy.com of 3/12/2014. Skip this, titled Cold War Images, and skipping down. The fascist Pravi sector, or right-wing sector, has announced that it has opened recruiting offices throughout the Ukraine to recruit volunteers to reconquer the Crimea. They want to mobilize for the case that Russia continues its, quote, aggression, unquote, there. The other side of the coin is war, according to a quote from one of the leaders of the organization. We do not rule out this option. Accordingly, we are conducting mobilization and are preparing to repel foreign aggression. Skipping down. If the Kremlin tramples on us further, we will fight and defend our native state until the end. According to Ukrainian media, the leader of the Pravi sector, Dmytro Yarosh, announced that his paramilitary association would coordinate its activities with Ukraine's National Security and Defense Council. I would note that Dmytro Yarosh, the leader of Pravi sector, is sort of the deputy defense minister of the Ukraine. The leader is on, are both for the two leaders of the Ukraine, of the new Ukrainian military, are from Svoboda. Dmytro Yarosh is kind of like the number two. Beginning again. According to Ukrainian media, the leader of the Pravi sector, Dmytro Yarosh, announced that his paramilitary association would coordinate its activities with Ukraine's National Security and Defense Council. Yarosh officiates as vice secretary of this council under the personal direction of the Ukrainian president. The Pravi sector's threats of force must be taken all the more seriously, given the fact that in the past, one of its member organizations, the extremist right-wing UNA-UNSO, founded in 1990, not only had intervened in the Crimea, but has combat experience. In the spring of 1992, that association staged a demonstration in the Crimea, which dominated headlines throughout the country. This was perceived at the time, shortly following the disintegration of the Soviet Union, as a response to the topical debate as to whether the allocation of the Crimea to Ukraine in 1954 should be reversed and the Crimea be reattached to Russia. The Crimea remained with Ukraine. UNA-UNSO activists also joined the combat in Georgia in 1993. Parenthetically, I would note that there is a jihadist element in the Caucasus that is actively being supported by elements of Western intelligence and Saudi intelligence as well. One of the elements of blowback from that was the Boston Marathon bombing, as we looked at in For the Record program number 773. Continuing with this analysis. In 1994, according to one report, the association had a constant exchange with Chechen separatists at war with Moscow. UNA, UNSO members also practically participated in Chechnya's war against Russia. One of these former UNA, UNSO militiamen was recently spotted at the Western Ukraine protests when he threatened regional parliamentarians with a Kalashnikov. Today, he claims that he will, quote, fight communist Jews and Russians for as long as blood flows in my veins, unquote. Alongside the party sector, whose ranks have been dramatically reinforced in the course of these protests supported by Berlin, another group drawing attention in the Crimean context are the Crimean Tatars. This 280,000-member Islamic community also has a Salafist wing, some of whose activists have combat experience from the Syrian conflict. One of the Crimean Tatar leaders was quoted with a prognosis that it should be expected that at least a few of those with combat experience will attack the Russian troops in the Crimea in the future. They say, quote, an enemy has entered our land and we are ready, unquote, he is quoted as saying. Observers point out that, on the one hand, Salafists fighting in Syria often have the best links to Saudi Arabia, and that, on the other, massive protests are now taking place in Saudi Arabia against Russian measures in the Crimea based on the bogus allegation that Moscow wants to kill the Crimean Tatars. Saudi media propagates that in the Crimean War of the 19th century, Arab Muslims also fought the Russians. Riyadh, which is participating in this anti-Moscow agitation, is one of the West's and Germany's as well closest allies in the Arab world. This dictatorship has already joined forces with Western powers against Moscow in Afghanistan in the 1980s. And again, we will talk more about that in weeks to come. I will also note that in the Ukraine, some of these leaders, the OUNB-inspired fascists, are talking about getting nuclear weapons. This concludes Side 2, For the Record program number 781. All's well that's all well. The Ministry of Truth and the Ukrainian Crisis, subtitled Yushchenko Uber Alles. This has been recorded on March 14th of the year 2014. I'm Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.